Good evening. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Wednesday, April 28, 2021. And this is Live Talk Diaspora Forum. I'm Jonga Kandemiring.
And I'm Chris Dande.
We'd like to inform our listeners that because of the coronavirus pandemic, we are not able to give you our usual show, and you will not be able to call in since we are broadcasting from our homes.
Thanks again for joining us. You are listening to Studio 7 Live Talk, and this evening we are discussing COVID-19 and the vaccination program.
We are also going to discuss about the continued closure of borders due to COVID-19 and its implications. There are also reports of a rise in the smuggling of goods into the country. Could this be a result of the closure of our borders?
First, the Health Ministry reported Tuesday that 5 people died from COVID-19, while 62 others tested positive. This brought the number of confirmed cases to 38,164, while deaths today stood at 1,565.
And the world over, in America, we have noticed that they've undone the issue of wearing masks. CDC, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, announced yesterday that people are free to walk around without wearing masks. But that's not the same issue in Zimbabwe, where 62 people tested positive yesterday and 5 people died from COVID-19. The total number of confirmed cases in Zimbabwe is 38,164, while deaths stood at 1,565. And, you know, as always, people are urged to go and get vaccinated. So far, 370,676 people have been vaccinated against COVID-19.
Yebo kambe zulwandaba siyadibana njalo ngokuhlelo lwethu lweStudio 7 Live Talk. Lamhlanje ke sikuphethe indaba ezingeneyo. Yes, siyaqala ke ngokukhangela udaba lweCOVID-19. Ye, yiyo ke iCoronavirus esihluphile umhlaba wonke jikelele. EZimbabwe sikhuluma kanje sokulabantu abedlula amakhulu asebesishiyile bebulawa yi-COVID-19 by 1,565, futhi ke asebele gciwane le-coronavirus bangu-370 and 6,676. Ye, kuthi ke emhlabeni jikelele lakho sizake sibamba-bambe ukuthi kwenzakalani. Sikhangela njalo lendaba ezichiyeneyo ezenzakalayo elizweni okwalamhlanje, Jonga.
Wongo wadio watereri nasi mchirongo chedu, chatino tarisa zirukusanga ane wana wa Zimbabwe, wariku nzeko nyika, ane warimu nyika, tirukutarisa pamsuru pe chikureche COVID-19. Pamwechete urongo wakubaiwa nomba, kurugitu kwa wana wa Zimbabwe, kushitariso zirukitika mune zimwe nyika. Totanga niku zivisa kuti mu Zimbabwe, nezuro vanhu vashanu vakafa kuburikidza neCOVID-19, vamwe makumi matana tune vaviri 62 vachiwanikwa vaine chirwere ichochi COVID-19. Izvi zvakasvitsa uwandu hwevanhu vabatwa neCOVID-19 munyika pazviuru makumi matatu nezvisere nezana nemakumi matana tune vana 38,164, asi vanhu vashaya munyika vakasvika pa 1,565 mushure mekufa kwevamwe vashanu avo. Bazi rezveutano rakaziviso zvakare kuti vanhu vanokwana kuita 370,676 kana kuti zviuru mazana matatu nemakumi manomwe nemazana matanhatu nemakumi manomwe zvakare nevatanhatu 370,676 ndo vabaiwa nomba kusvika pari zvino. Tichitarisawo imwe nyaya tichabata zvakare muZimbabwe, inyaya yekuti miganhu yenyika ichakavharwa senzira yekudzivirira kupararira kweCOVID-19. Asi tinonzwa vamwe vari kuchema kuti zvaakuita kunga zviri kuti kanganisei kurarama kwevanhu, nekuti vazhinji vangu vachirarama nekupinda nekubuda munyika dzakapoteredza vachinohodha kana kutenga nekutengesa. Zvaakuita kuti nyaya dzekupinzwa munyika zvisiri pamutemo kwezvinhu kubva kune dzimwe nyika zvinzi zvikwire, yatingati smuggling. Tinonzwa kuti mazuva apera ayo mabhazi mana aine zvinhu zvakatorwa. Kwamutare takanzwa kuti kune marori akawanda kwazvo akabatwa aine mbatya dzakashanda dzaiti Mozambique. Saka ndedzimwe dzenyaya dzatichakurukura tisakanganwawo kutarisa zviri kuitika mune dzimwe nyika. Nezvino takanzwa vanotungamira kudzivirirwa kwezvirwere muno muAmerica veCenters for Disease Control and Prevention kana kuti CDC vachizivisa kuti kana munhu abayiwa nhomba dzake dzese dziri mbiri apedza masvondo ake maviri abayiwa nhomba yekupedzisira yechipiri vaakusunungangwa vachifamba kunze uko vasinavo kunge vakapfeka masiki chero vachinge vachichengetedza mikaha nevanhu kana kuti vanogona kuungana pamwe chete nevamwe vakabayiwa nhomba muchiungana muri mega hanzi dzinopfuura nziwani muchiungana makadaro ndezvimwe zvezvinhu zvatichakurukura nhasi Chris.
Yebo ke chonga yizo ke indaba isilazo namhlanje. Yes, we have our guests as usual and we are introducing the first guest, chonga.
Yes, tina Dr. Matthew Nyashano vanodzidzisa zveutano Nottingham Trent University ku Britain, health expert at Nottingham Trent University. Welcome to our show, Dr. Nyashano.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. Maybe my first question to you is, what's your take on what is happening in Zimbabwe with regards to the issue of COVID-19, vaccination, awareness campaign, and all that?
Yes, thank you very much, Jonga. What is happening in Zimbabwe, the low uptake of COVID-19 vaccination is actually evidence of poor health promotion, which I think should have actually been put in place by the government. They're expecting people to take that against a backdrop of so many conspiracy theories and also a lot of cultural and colonial garbage that tend to taint the relationship of anything produced outside Africa or Zimbabwe. So there is need for a robust health promotion, education, and awareness in communities before they can actually have people come in. They've got to make sure that all the myths are dismissed. And this should be done by people at local level, which is not what we are seeing. We are seeing people coming with vaccine and then just send it there and say, you have to get the vaccine. That's not how you do public health. So what we are seeing is a crisis in Zimbabwe where there is poor implementation of policies and practice for public health.
Mm-hmm. Chris.
Yes, Dr. Nyashano, the topmost question that many people are asking us is that if you...
I can't get you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you now, yes.
Okay. Yes, I was saying, Dr. Nyashano, the most topical question right now, which we are getting from our listeners, is that if I've been vaccinated the two shots, or if it's the one that is required and I'm considered to be fully vaccinated, will I be vaccinated again next year, or this is a lifetime vaccination?
This is what scientists do not know at the moment, and this is what they are looking at. No one knows the lifespan of the immune system that is going to be created by those vaccines. This will only come into play as people who have been vaccinated are going to be monitored over a protracted period of time, and then some conclusions will be drawn from there.
Nyashano, nyaya iri kunyanyo taurwa nevakawanda muZimbabwe inyaya yekubayiwa nhomba. Kana kuti hurumende yakazivisa gurukota rezveutano vakazvidzokorora zvakare vaConstantino Chiwenga musi wechina svondo rapera kuti vanotarisira kubaya vanhu vanokwana kuita 10 million nhomba panosvika December. Kare vanga vasati vataura kuti vanotarisira kubaya vanhu 10 million kusvika riini, asi nemusi wechina chapera vari kukwekwe. Vakataura vachiwenga kuti vanotarisira kubaya vanhu 10 million panosvika December. Iye zvino taakupinda muna May. Munoona here nyika ichibata chiga ichocho chekuti vange vabaya vanhu 10 million?
Kuona kwandiri kuita, ndirikuona sekuti 10 million dzavari kutaura kusvika mumwedzi wazvita dzinenge dzakaoma zvikuru kuti vange vachikwanisa kunge vachizviita. Nekuti tikatarisa iye zvino vanhu vari kuenda vachinobayiwa nhomba vashoma zvikuru, uyezve tikateerera zvinhu zviri kutaurwa mumatunhu nemimana munogara vanhu, inyaya dzekuti dziri kuratidza kuti pane kwatinoti kusave nekuvimba nenhomba dziri kubayiwa idzi. Saka kune kutya kuripo nekufungira. Uku kwandiri kuona kuti kana vachida kunge vabaya vanhu 10 miriyoni kusvika muna zviita, pane basa rinofanira kunge richiitwa nehurumende ratinotiro basa rekudzidzisa vachishambadza nezveutano, vachidzidzisa vanhu vari mumatunhu. Asi izvi zvinhu hazvisi kuitwa, chiri kungoitwa ndechekuti takauya nemushonga kana nenhomba huyaiti kubayi. Munhu auyika kuzongobayiwa asingazivi, imuchiziva kuti vanhu kubva kare nakare vagara vasina vimbiso nekubayiwa nhomba. Saka izvi zvinoda kuti zvinge zvichidzidziswa vanhu, dai tiine vanhu izvozvi vakadzidziswa kuti vange vachifamba mumana mavakabva, semi vakandimire muchienda kwenyu uko kwamutoko kwamurehwa muchinofamba imomo, vachiona kuti uyu mwana womuno uyu ari kutiudza kuti tipayiwe, uyezve mwana akaenda akanodzidzira zvinhu izvi. Saka tiri kuona zvinhu zvichishanda pane kuti tinoshambadza kuti bayiwai iwo akagara mumba mako kuHarare. Ndinofunga kuti bazi reutano remuZimbabwe rinofanira kunge richiona kuti ravandudza nyaya yatinodaidza pachirungu kuti health promotion, kana kuti kudzidzisa vanhu especially vari mumacommunities ari kumarural areas kuti vange vachinzwisisa nezvekubayiwa izvi, pane kuti bayiwai munofa mukasabayiwa. Handiko kudzidzisa vanhu ende handiko kuita basa rebazi reutano hwepublic health.
Asi Dr. Nyashano, tiri kuona bazi rezveutano riri kuita zvakawanda munyaya dzekushambadza pamusoro pekudzivirira COVID-19, pamwewo nekuti vanhu vange vachibayiwa nhomba, kukurudzira kubayiwa kwenhomba. Vatungamiri vehurumende nevatungamiri venyika vachitobayiwa pajekerere, haisi imwe nzira here yekushambadza nayo chirongwa icho?
Kubayiwa pajekerere uri paterevhizheni kana paredhiyo zvinhu zvakanaka zvikuru kana uri mukuru uchitaridza kuti taakuzvitora. Asi health promotion haisi yatingati inyaya yekuti inoshandiswa, chingoriwo chimwe chekuti unoshandisa senge muchiti haumbowi kuti nesu taakubayiwa. Chinodiwa ndechekudzidzisa munhu nekutaura nevanhu nekunzwa zvavanofunga. Saka isu chatiri kushaya apa ndechekunoita hatinoti maconversation kana kuti hurukuro nevanhu vari kugara yavo, nekuti vanoda kunzi bvunzai tichikuudzai, pane kungoti bayiwai chete kana kuti ngana akabayiwa. Ndinoziva chawabayiwa here kana ukati ndabayiwa ndiri paTV. Huyai endai kumacommunities munovataridza muchitaura. Ngakuve kuine vanhu vanenge vachienda kumacommunities vachitaura nemacommunities avo. Ende chinofanira kuitwa ndechekuti tsvagai vana vemunzvimbo idzodzo vapuwe mabasa iwavo vachienda vachinoshambadza vakadzidziswa, nekuti vanenge vaine yatinoti community trust, ende iyoyo inoita kuti zvinhu zvienderere mberi. Ndo basa rinoda kuitwa iri, pane kungodaidzira vanhu vari paredhiyo, pane kungoti haiwa manesa anotaura. Manesa anotreata vanhu nemadoctors vari mumahospital, havasivo vehealth promotion. Kune vanhu vanofanira kunotaura nemacommunities. Ipapo ndo pachazowana macommunities simba rekuti aiwa zviri kutaurwa izvika izvi ndiri kuriwirirana nezviri kutaurwa naGarandi, ndiri kuriwirira nezviri kutaurwa naKandimire, kana kuti nezviri kutaurwa navamuyo. Nekuti anovaziva, akaenda kuchono ichoko anoziva kunzi uyu ndiye mwana wedu kauya akanga ari pamupilo hospital aakutaura nezvezvinhu izvi. Vanhu vanowana simba uyezve nekusapota zvinhu zvacho.
Thank you so much, Dr. Nyashano. Chris.
Yes, Dr. Nyashano, Zimbabwe's population right now is around 16 million people. So when they talk of herd immunity, what is the population that is required to have been immunized?
it's actually very difficult. I think the case of herd immunity that they wanted to talk about is one which was actually refuted and was seen not to work in many countries that have now embarked on a nationwide vaccination of their population. It's an idea. That idea is not feasible. It has not been seen as one of the most effective way of doing things. And this is why we see in America, they are actually about vaccinating every person. Because what happens with this herd immunity that they want people to undergo, it's we have vulnerable people in there. And if everyone gets the disease without being prevented, they are going to die. And you cannot actually use people as shields against a disease. That's unethical in public health. That's unethical. If it was a disease that we know people can go through easily, it doesn't threaten their lives, then you can count on herd immunity because you know that people are not in danger. You can't say we do that with something that can actually be dangerous to life of human beings.
So, but roughly, if we look at the 10 million that they are proposing to have been vaccinated, do you think it's enough to stop the spread?
I don't think that will be enough to stop the spread because we still have 16 million. In public health, we say any life lost is of value. So if we have probably 6 other million falling sick and have the disease going on and on, remember, if we have 6 million, every day people are born, young people are being born, and people are also affected by other conditions, that will not go away. The only way to defeat this pandemic is to have everyone getting vaccinated. And in doing so, there is need for education. Without educating communities, we are not going to realize that. And also there's need for speed vaccination of people by the government. There's need for some strategic arrangements that will see the 16 million people being vaccinated in a record time. You asked a very good question to say that, do we know how long this immunity lasts? If we take time, for example, for argument's sake, and then the immunity for those that have been vaccinated start to wear out before we even finish other people, it can be dangerous, really. That is just for argument's sake. So there is need to be very speedy in the way people are being vaccinated. And this is not what we are seeing.
Okay, and there's also this issue of people who have been vaccinated, maybe the first dose, getting...
Hello, I can't hear you.
You can't hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Yes, I'm saying there are some people who are saying that even though they were vaccinated, they still went on to contract the virus. What could be...
Yes. Again, that cannot be ruled out. The idea of the vaccine is to lessen the severeness of the disease or the condition. And it also depends on the genetic makeup of an individual. It also depends on the other underlying conditions. And when we talk about efficacy percentage, it's not 100%, and it also depends on what we have. And that could be possible. You cannot actually say, this is not it. So it's subjective. However, those who are vaccinated, even though they are attacked by the disease or by coronavirus, they are likely to fare well. It will not be as violent as it would be to somebody who has not been vaccinated. So the idea of being vaccinated is to lessen the impact of the disease.
Chris, we are now joined by Mukoma Velile Dumimoyo. Welcome to our show, sir. Yes.
Thank you very much.
Okay, yeah, but you are a bit low. Chris, you can throw a question there.
Yeah, Mnumzane.
Yes, and boy.
Yes, Jonga, as you know, Mr. Moyo is a member of Mtwakazi Republic Party, but here he is here on his capacity as a Zimbabwean living in South Africa, which is why we invited him today. And so, Mr. Moyo, we want to know what is the reaction of Zimbabweans in South Africa regarding the continued closure of the borders on the Zimbabwean side.
There's someone who's mic here with a feedback. Maybe we can help each other by muting when we are not on the show. Go ahead, Mr. Moyo.
Okay, thank you very much for welcoming me into the show. Looking at the people that are living in South Africa and also looking at the closure of the borders and failure of people to be able to send through groceries back home, I can actually say this has actually devastated quite a lot of people, seeing that people are actually depressed coming from last year's lockdowns, where people were also struggling to send groceries back home. And now we're still in a scenario whereby it's almost mid-year, the second year, and still the borders are closed. And there's no hope that the borders will be opened anytime soon. So many people actually complaining, especially if you look at the other side of Zimbabwe in Matabeleland, we discover that for quite a long time, our people have been depending on the transportation of these people called Abomalaisha, who are bringing groceries almost on a day-to-day basis. So you can tell that people are actually so depressed, and there have been quite a lot of complaints, especially about why the borders are not being opened. And we discover that the Malaisha business is actually a very huge business, actually, that is contributing much to the economy. And those people are relying on those on that kind of a business to sustain their own families. And we discover that quite many of them are using the cars that they actually could have taken on installments here in South Africa, and they are now failing to pay their installments because they cannot continue to do their business on a day-to-day basis. So it's a challenging issue, especially for the people that have been depending on taking groceries back home.
Thank you so much, Mr. Moyo. Maybe Dr. Nyashano, we know you are about to leave, but before you go, may you just give us your thoughts on the government's position to continue closing borders with our neighbors, resulting in what Mr. Moyo just said, and all these other infidelities, like smuggling of goods into the country, people going out, jumping borders, and all that. Let me see. I think yes. Go ahead, Dr. Nyashan.
Yes. Thank you very much, Mr. Kandemir. The situation of people smuggling in things and, you know, closure of borders is actually a sorry sight to look at in Zimbabwe at the moment. We talked about this issue a long time ago when COVID started to hit the country. You remember that we talked about a social support that was needed for people. We knew that this was going to come on. And what we are now having is a situation where people are trapped between a hard place and a hard rock. One, the government is not supplying anything to the members of the public to be able to live their life. At the same time, they are policing them not to have things across the border. So these are people who are hungry, who are also trying to prevent themselves from the relenting attack from COVID-19, which we have seen decimating the communities. I think there is need for a rethink in terms of the government of Zimbabwe's social security support, especially in pandemics. What we are seeing is a disaster that is going on. People in Zimbabwe are like now, they are trapped in a zone where there is no food, in a war zone, where they are supposed to be, on one hand, getting food for their families. On the other hand, they need to have some money. The government is not providing anything. We know that. All the government is concerned about is to prevent those they think are coming from another country who has got COVID-19 into Zimbabwe, without also thinking about the immediate life or for the health and well-being of the people. So there is actually a very, very difficult time. The government should actually move further than that to ramp up vaccination of people, to try and open up the borders so that the economy can start moving. Because as I have heard from my dear friend in South Africa, we know that our countries depend on either South Africa or anything that is being imported from Tanzania, Mozambique, either in terms of goods for them to come and sell and support their families. And if this business is closed without any things that are put in place to try and replace it, we're going to have a disaster.
But Dr. Nyashanu, my understanding is that the borders are open for business transactions. People can still use the government channels to bring in whatever goods, declare them at the immigration offices, and then proceed to wherever they want to take them into Zimbabwe. Unlike people using these designated entry points to bring in goods, and also using buses to bring in undeclared goods, it's different now.
Yes, such action from members of the public is actually evidence of poor social support from the government. These people have fended for money, not from employment created by the government, but from their own way of looking for things. And now they are coming, they are being asked to pay taxes. You are asking poor people who are actually supposed to be receiving benefits to pay a taxi. And that is impossible. Some people make what we call survival skills. And this is not new in sociology of politics. And when people do struggle to get things, they also find some ways of survival to make sure that what they are getting is not going to be actually taken up by those who have got the power. The government should not be chasing poor people. They should actually be opening up, giving them some rebates to say that because you are getting this, here is the government helping. How do you expect an unemployed person to come through a channel where they are supposed to pay taxi when they are not employed in the country? When did they get the money? It's ridiculous for the government to be asking for that money as well. If you are asking for somebody who is not employed to pay you a taxi, it means that you are not sincere. There is need for sincerity and pay attention to ethics that also support life and human beings, which is not what we are finding in Zimbabwe. And this is why we are having those things happening. And this is just a touch of the problem, because through those smuggling routes, we are going to have a lot of people who have got COVID who are going to come into Zimbabwe and get into South Africa. Actually, the poor support by the government is posing a problem to the health and well-being of both people on the other side of the borders.
Mm. Thank you so much, Dr. Nyashanu. Chris, you are mute. Okay, go ahead, Chris.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Yes, I was saying maybe since Dr. Nyashanu is about to leave, maybe my final question to him will be that since we have seen that, numbers have continued going down in Zimbabwe, and some people are saying it's the numbers are cooked up, the figures are cooked up, and so forth. What's your answer to that, especially when we look at the fact that not much has been done in terms of, social distancing and so forth. But we saw the numbers take a dip, and right now they've plateaued at, very low levels. What could be the reason?
I was in Zimbabwe myself in December up to the mid of January. And I traveled across Zimbabwe into the rural areas. There's one thing that I actually noticed One thing that I noticed is that there were a lot of these testing companies for COVID-19 sprawling up. And I looked at the charges that they were charging. They were so high that they cannot be afforded by an ordinary person. And my take from a public health perspective and analysis of the numbers that are being presented in Zimbabwe by the testing system is that they are actually underreported, because a lot of people are actually suffering from COVID-19. They either go through it and become well, others die. They are never tested wherever they are. The system, the health system in Zimbabwe, the surveillance system, the testing system is actually dilapidated and is not fit for purpose, and it cannot give credible statistics for any disease which is under surveillance. And I know this because I've been there. What we are seeing now is probably people who do not have money, who are still suffering in homes, who cannot go and test. If they had rammed up that test, and that test is free of charge, is being available in the rural areas, we could have more numbers. Those numbers are too conservative for a population in Zimbabwe which is not undergoing a very rapid vaccination program.
But Dr. Ngasano, the fact that this is a voluntary project, are we not going to see low numbers because it's voluntary?
You mean the testing is voluntary?
The testing is voluntary. No, even the vaccination.
Yes, the testing is voluntary. Being voluntary, there's a charge that is attached to it. And having a charge attached to it and looking at the economic status of most of our people, they cannot afford a $60 charge that is being charged at the moment. Some of them are not even earning $60, let alone to think about going to test, even though they can be affected, even though they can have some symptoms. So the problem is, if this was voluntary and available free of charge, we could be having more numbers. Because people would actually say, it's free of charge. I want to know whether I've got COVID. Then they will test. Now, turning to COVID-19 vaccine, it is also about having conversations with communities. It is not only about saying voluntary, yes, voluntary. There is work that needs to be performed by the Minister of Education, by the Minister of Health, with communities. And we are seeing this gap not being addressed. And this is why we are seeing people not coming forward for vaccinations. They are ill-informed. They are not being informed. Poor education, poor health promotion will also result in low uptake of vaccines.
Thank you so much. Mr. Moyo, your take on what we just discussed, though.
Okay, yeah. I do agree with what Dr. Nyashandu is saying there, especially regarding the issues in Zimbabwe. If we look at how COVID-19 cases are followed up and also how it is managed, you can actually tell that Zimbabwe is incapacitated. Zimbabwe has not the ability to handle that pandemic. Even from last year, we could tell that whatever the statistics was being given out to the public, it was not really a reflection of what exactly is happening on the ground. So we cannot actually comment much and say what they're giving out now as the current state of the affairs in terms of COVID-19 is a true reflection of what is happening. As the doctor there is saying, if we look at how people are tested, screened, and if we look at the network system in Zimbabwe altogether, you might be surprised that even in rural areas, people don't even have a clue of what COVID-19 is in terms of communication and dissipation of information and dissemination of information and knowledge to the people that are affected. So you might discover that the numbers are underrated or overrated. But the true reflection of what exactly is happening in terms of COVID-19 is not a true reflection of what is on the ground. So what Zimbabwe could be doing most probably is, well, it's something that you are dealing with a country whereby almost everything is down. So if we look at South Africa were able to do scientific research to come up with certain decisions that they were making. They were basing on certain research that they have conducted and done. But in Zimbabwe, they just guess and look at what the other nations are saying, well, what South Africa is saying, what Botswana is saying, and then they just try to reflect on what is there on the ground. Even when you look at now the closure of borders, they have no basis why they're still closing the borders even up to now. They are just closing the borders. You might discover that the thing has turned out to be political instead of to be dealing with the pandemic at all. So, well, when it comes to Zimbabwe and the issues of COVID-19, it's very difficult for us to understand, because even the health ministry itself cannot stand up and actually give us credible information that is going to help people to make proper decisions. Whether people can fully open the economy or should not open the economy, there is no scientific research that can be put down and help people to make such a decision. So we have a lot of work to be done in Zimbabwe. We have a lot that needs to be looked at. And I think the consultative approach as well is not broad enough to cover almost everyone to be part and parcel of this. The government is just doing it by itself, the way it sees fit and the way they feel it should be done. I don't think there is a wide spectrum consultation with all stakeholders and all people around the country, and also people outside of the country, and how much they can assist and if they can assist at all. So we have a government that actually does not really care at all. They just do things for the sake of doing. So that's the challenge that we have, especially when it comes to the issues of COVID, as the doctor was saying.
Thank you so much. We are still trying to get hold of a government official to help us with answers to this, but I think the network is playing up. He just sent me a message that the network is a problem. But we'll still continue trying to reach out to many other people to hear their views. Mr. Gande.
Yes, Dr. Nyashanu, if the figures, the coronavirus figures in Zimbabwe are not a true reflection of what's on the ground, but how come we are not seeing the number of people dying en masse like you are seeing in India or some country where the virus is really as bad? What could be the reason if we are not having the proper figures, but the death rate is not as bad?
What normally happens is that, the population of Zimbabwe is just 16 million, which is very negligible when you compare it to the population of India or America. So the number of people who are dying in India, if there are 3,000 per day, they seem to be many, but they are actually coming from a population which is closer to 1 billion. Now, in Zimbabwe, still the same, if we use a calculating statistic to say what does this mean if the population of Zimbabwe, we are having these people dying, if we had 800 million, how many would have died? We can actually calculate that there are more deaths in Zimbabwe compared to America because it's calculated on the population. However, in Zimbabwe, the other problem that we tend to have is a person dying of COVID-19 in a Buhera, in Cholocho, is not known because there are no surveillance offices there or any testing. Let me say, for a person to go after death, to go to actually go for examination to find the cause of death. In Zimbabwe, it's no longer happening. It's no longer happening. People are just burying people without knowing the cause of the death because of that situation. Having that situation is quite very terrible. How are we going to tell those who are dying in the rural areas that they are dying of COVID-19? So the deaths that we are seeing might also include other deaths which has got COVID, but there's no one who has done the test. And this is a typical characteristic of a dilapidated health system. And this is what you will have. And I actually go along with what my dear friend is saying, that they are actually mimicking what is happening in the neighboring countries. If Cyril Ramaphosa chooses to do a speech and you find them, they take that route of the speech about COVID-19. If Botswana does this, we do. We are not using evidence-based decisions. Where there is research, where there are people who are working as strategists, and it's a sorry sight. It's a really sorry sight.
Okay, so back to you, Mr. Moyo. Mr. Moyo, we have seen that in South Africa, where they say there's this variant, the South African variant. How much has it affected people as far as, you know, I mean, those who get infected? What has been your experience with it?
The variant, the South African variant, as it is called, as it started at the time when it was labeled as South African variant, people panicked, and well, there were some results showing that it is actually there. Though it was globally known to a point that other countries, like in the West, they started to look at South Africa differently. And looking down at what was happening on the ground, well, South Africa is capacitated. They were able to roll out and be able to put awareness and contain it in terms of measures that were needed at the time to ensure that it doesn't continue to spread out. Though we see that people still disregard some of the regulations because people get tired. But South Africa was able to contain this variant. There were not too much deaths that came together with this variant. South Africa was able to control this variant from the day one when it started, the first one, COVID first, that started last year. Even when the third variant came, it came out through as if it was initiated or started in South Africa. But South Africa came up with quite tangible measures to mitigate the spread, tried by all means to control and also enforce some of the regulations. But it passed, though it may sound as if it's still there. But on the ground, well, we are not seeing quite a lot of those infections. Though we may hear from the statistics on television here and there, because South Africa is huge. So we are actually thinking South Africa was in a position to control and put it under control, even up to now.
Thank you so much, Mr. Moyo. Chris, we are joined by Mr. Regis Charumbira Vusango via WhatsApp, because you are also having network problems. He's the ZANU-PF chairman for North America. He's based in Canada. Mr. Regis Charumbira, we have Mr. Chris Gande, Voice of America, and a Zimbabwean who is based in South Africa, Mr. Velile Dumi Moyo, who is today speaking in his capacity as a Zimbabwean citizen. But we have issues here with people complaining that the government is taking long to open the borders, and it's like turning into a political issue now that they are punishing people. What's your take, Mr. Charumbira?
Thank you very much, Mkanya, Jonga, and the viewers. Am I clear?
Yes, the guidance is going on. Can you hear him, Chris and Mr. Moy? Yes, go ahead.
Thank you very much. Yeah, so I think we need to be very aware and about the degree of harm that can come by us not recognizing the World Health Organization guidelines as far as COVID-19 is concerned. Right now in the world, we have got a panic situation in India. Today, the recorded cases, as I looked, almost 4 million people in India right now, today, 3 hours ago. We're almost 4,000 deaths just today, 3 hours ago, recorded in India. When I was in Zimbabwe in December and January, that's when the new variant from South Africa came along. And we lost quite a number of people, including some of our ministers, because of that variant. And for us to say the government should to open the borders, while we know that already in South Africa, for those that are in Gauteng, 2 days ago, there was a notification from this statement that came from the South African government of a notification of a new virus, virus called avian influenza. This outbreak is there in South Africa already, and it is an outbreak out of chicken and fowl run, fowl poultry. And they are actually afraid that this influenza might actually going to end up in Zimbabwe very soon, because Zimbabwe buys a lot of poultry and chicken from South Africa. So we have to be very, very careful in terms of how we are actually expecting the government of Zimbabwe to just open the borders randomly. Because at the end of the day, what is happening in India, it happened because people in India disregarded COVID-19 regulations. And they went about their rituals and they did some ceremonies that have impacted the country and put the country on number one, being number one in the world as a country whereby anyone from India is no longer allowed to fly to any other country. Here in Canada, they banned flights from Canada. America has banned flights from Canada. I'm from India. Britain has banned flights from India. It is because people need to be aware that this evil weapon that cannot be seen by our eyes is actually still out there ravaging, and we have to prepare. We have to make sure that we protect our citizens. So the government cannot open the borders right now. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Vacharumbira, ndinofunga munogona kumboramba muripo pamwe vaviri vatatu vanenge vane mubvunzo handitika. Hello, Vacharumbira. Hello, Mr. Charumbira.
Yes, ndinenge ndiri pano.
Okay, thank you so much. Chris.
Yes, Mr. Charumbira, we have some questions here regarding the figures.
A bit low. Yes.
Let me pull this up. Mr. Charumbira, can you hear me?
Yes. Please go ahead. I hear you, Chris. Thank you.
Okay. Yes, Mr. Charumbira, I was saying there are some questions about figures in Zimbabwe, coronavirus figures. Some people are saying they don't reflect a true situation on the ground. What's your take on that?
Chris, I didn't hear. You said there are some what in Zimbabwe. I didn't hear that.
Okay, maybe I can clarify. He said there are people who are skeptical about the figures released by the Ministry of Health in Zimbabwe, the COVID-19 figures. They think that the government is not releasing a true picture of what's on the ground.
Well, I you know what, to be honest with you, I don't know where we all come from, different provinces and different communities. In my community in Masvingo, I come from Charumbira area close to Cape Town. I have the capacity to know what's going on in Masvingo province. So far, I have not had any recorded death in Masvingo province in the past, I think, about 2-3 months. I can go back to statement. So, it depends which area you're coming from. I think it's the government is doing their job to release every information is available, unless if there are individual organizations who have their different numbers and estimates. But I know the government is releasing quite correct information as far as the COVID-19 pandemic is concerned. The government is not falsifying any documents or any numbers. The government is actually providing the numbers that are coming from the Minister of Health, and we should the people who are actually trusting our government. Why are we always suspicious of thinking that the government is not doing this, the government is not doing that? If that's the case, then let's have the civil society or other non-profit or whatever organizations who can do go to the hospitals and find out themselves. Then we need to argue with something that we have, not just hearsay and say the government has done this, has done that. Where is the government falsifying numbers?
Mr. Moyo.
Yes. Well, I'm listening to my brother, the Charumbira. He first mentioned the issue of the hearsays, and that's what we have been talking about, the issue of the hearsays. The South African flu, and also the Indian variant, and many other instances that he is mentioning that are actually a threat to Zimbabwe, to a point that almost everything needs to be closed down. He actually also reiterated the issue of not opening the borders, in the sense that they are afraid that this virus is actually going to continue affecting the people of Zimbabwe. The question then could be, what are the measures that the government is coming with to assist the people that can actually be affected by this ongoing crisis or pandemic? Because we are looking at it, it started last year in March. Now we are in March again, April. That means we have rounded up a year. At least in South Africa, we saw quite some cushioning that the government was doing, though it may not be adequate. But the government was actually putting aside some money that was relevant to helping cushion businesses that would be affected by this pandemic, and also people that are not employed. So, looking at the situation in Zimbabwe, people actually were actually depressed because the economy is actually depressed, and people are struggling, and almost every day they need to wake up and go and fend for themselves in the streets, go out of the borders, find food for their families just to survive. So if we are going to continue looking at the hearsays from different parts of the world, and then we take that as a threat to us as Zimbabweans, what is the government's plan in terms of mitigating that and making sure that at least its citizens are taken care of in such a situation? Because that is very key. Because as much as people get depressed, you cannot allow people to go hungry and expect them to be quiet and not do anything. People still complaining about closed borders. Why? Because they know that their food is beyond the borders. So the government needs to look at that and say, what are we're going to do as a government to come up with a situation whereby we can actually help mitigate this process and make sure that at least our people are cushioned during this time.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. Mr. Charumbira.
Yes, thank you, my brother. Yes, I think what we need, first and foremost, I would like to say, as a government, and me speaking from the party level, I think the government is doing the right thing. The most important thing, my brother, is to make sure that our citizens are not dying, because we will be left with no country, because we want to feed. Because we want to feed people, we should not do it in a manner where we are going to lose a lot of people's lives, because people are going to die with us. That's one thing I wanted to just touch there, so that we understand where we are coming from. This variant, they keep mutating, and I know with the capacity of our healthcare system in Zimbabwe, we wouldn't want our government to come to a point where they are not able to mitigate, as you say, these cases of COVID and this pandemic. So there's a government, it's in the best interest of its citizens to make sure that let's avoid anything that will make the cases of COVID rise.
But Charumbira, before you go any further there, because our time is running out, I just want to throw in a question there. When it comes to opposition, NGOs, and the other activities, the government highlights the importance of avoiding gatherings as a measure to curb COVID-19. But we have seen ZANU-PF members gathering, doing activities and all that. Where is the issue of protecting Zimbabweans here when it comes to party lines and these opposition and other activities? Hello, Vacharumbira.
All right, let me come back. Sorry, I was
okay.
I was disturbed a little bit.
Okay.
Okay. So on that issue, the government has not been doing mass gatherings.
But ZANU-PF is a party, and ZANU-PF officials, they are doing that, and we are seeing that on social media and everywhere. They are meeting and even meeting at food distribution points and all that. Yeah, I think we are having a problem with connection here. Chris?
Yes, so ngiphenduke kuwe Mnumzana Moyo. Ungasitshela ukuthi abantu baphila njani lezi
Hello, Vacharumbira. Phone yenyu iri kuti yakambodzima saka tadafunga kuti maita dambudziko zvakare. Yeah, I think we are having connection problems. Go ahead, Chris.
Yes, ungasiphendula Mnumzana Moyo usitshela ukuthi baphila njani abantu eSouth Africa.
In terms of abantu bakithi or in general?
Abantu bakithi.
Okay, abantu bakithi abase South Africa, they slightly from last year, abantu abaningi babe affected kakhulu ngama challenges alethwe COVID 19 because abantu abaningi balahlekelwe imisebenzi from last year, and abantu abaningi abasebenzi, and still the companies abantu bebecabanga ukuthi maybe masingena ku 2021 izinto zizoba ngcono. It looks like abantu abaningi lokhu belose imisebenzi, ama companies amaningi they are downsizing, amanye vele ahle avalwa just because they couldn't come back to the business after bengene kuma lockdowns. So kunama challenges amaningi kakhulu abantu bakithi, they are actually suffering in South Africa, and knowing ukuthi leZimbabwe ngale akula hope, kunzima lokuthi basuke la bahambe baye ekhaya, sebephephela khona lapha. Iqiniso ukuthi abanye they will resort into crimes ngoba befuna ukuthi baqhubeke bephila ngezimpilo. So kulama challenges amaningi kakhulu, knowing ukuthi ungalahlekelwa ngumsebenzi. These days unemployment rate eSouth Africa is so high, and South Africa nayo needs to take care of its own people. So our people are left in a dilemma because the little resources that are left, they really need to fend for South Africans. So to a certain extent, our people are really affected. Sebethatha noma yini abangayithatha, just to keep going, to have something to go by almost on a day-to-day basis. We're seeing quite an influx of people. Ade besuka kuma high-density suburbs, lapha kade behlala khona, going down to ama shacks, to live in there, kuma small compartments where they can pay less rent, just because ama pocket abo, they are now so depressed. So kunzima kakhulu. It's not good enough, especially knowing which situation is. So it was good if our country was in a stable position because we as Zambia, we are and then be able to wait there until things normalize.
Thank you so much. Iska Tupelile Dudu, Christopher, your last word. 10 seconds.
Yes, Jonga. I would like to thank everyone who participated to wash your hands, stay 6 feet apart because COVID is still very much around. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Chris. And I would like to thank our guests tonight, Dr. Matthew Nyashano, health expert from Nottingham Trent University in the United Kingdom, Mr. Velile Dumi Moyo, Zimbabwean in South Africa, and Mr. Regis Charumbira Vusango, ZANU-PF North America chairperson. My name is Jonga Kandemi. Okay, Chris always say there is no extra time. Thank you so much, everyone. Good night. Vanoda kuteerera Studio 7 tibatei na 7 p.m. pamasaisai anoti 909 a.m. 4930 6170 ne 7270 kHz pashortwave mazuva ose. Munokwanisa kunzwa Studio 7 na 6 a.m. muvhuro kusvika chishanu pamasaisai anoti 909 a.m. 4930 6040 ne 15460 kHz shortwave.